Passover was at hand, John tells us. Passover was near. The feast celebrating God's miraculous deliverance of his people. The feast celebrating God's miraculous deliverance of his people from chains, from oppression, from slavery, from enemies, from Pharaoh, from Egypt, centuries before, was near. When God led his people out of Egypt, when God redeemed his people from Egypt, when God defeated their enemies, he commanded them to keep a feast. To keep a feast celebrating this event forever so that they would not forget, so that they would remember. So that when celebrating the feast, they would remember it is the Lord who saves. It is the Lord who keeps covenant. And that they belong to him. Passover was at hand. And Jerusalem was bursting at the seams. Jews from near and from far traveled to the city, stayed in the city to keep the feast, to celebrate, to remember, to gain an appreciation of the size of crowd in Jerusalem. We can look to a later account from Josephus. Josephus was a first century scholar, a first century historian, and in his works, he describes one Passover that took place prior to the year 66. And he describes this Passover where 2,700,000 Jews were in Jerusalem celebrating the feast. Now, even if this is an exaggeration by Josephus, and even if it is not accurate for the year that John is describing here, we can be certain that there were hundreds of thousands of Jews in Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. So Passover was near. A great crowd was in Jerusalem, and they heard that Jesus was coming. Jesus. By now, they had all heard about him. They had heard how he had changed water into wine. They heard how he made the lame walk again. They heard how he fed 5,000 people out of 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They heard that he made the blind see. They heard that he walked on water. They heard that he even raised the dead. Lazarus was dead for 3 days, and Jesus brought him back to life. And John tells us that many people who witnessed that miracle, many people who saw Lazarus rise from the grave, were in Jerusalem, and they were telling everybody what they had seen, what they witnessed Jesus do. Jesus was coming to Jerusalem at Passover. And as word spread, as news circulated of his arrival, a great crowd went out to meet him. A great crowd went out to welcome him, to receive him. Anticipation was high. People were more than curious. If this guy could raise the dead, if this guy could actually call somebody forth from the tomb, what was he going to do when he got to Jerusalem? If he had just done this, just miles down the road from the city, what was he going to do now? What would he do here in the city of David? So as they went to meet Jesus, they took palms, which were plenteous around Jerusalem. As they went, they took branches from palm trees, and they took these branches to shake. They took them to wave. They took them to carpet the road before him. So why palms? What's significant about palms? Well, by this time, by the time that Jesus was entering Jerusalem in our passage, palm branches had become a national symbol for Jews. Palm branches were a patriotic symbol for Jews. And here's why. Here's why. 200 years before Jesus, 200 years before, Jews were under the oppressive reign of Syria. the nation Syria. The Syrians had defiled God's temple. The Syrians had demanded that Jews worship idols. And one family, the Maccabee family, led a resistance, led an armed resistance against Syria. And eventually the Jews overthrew a much more powerful Syrian army. When they won the victory over this more powerful army, Simon Maccabee rode triumphantly into Jerusalem. He rode as a conquering hero into Jerusalem, and great crowds gathered in Jerusalem, celebrating victory over their enemies, and they welcomed him by waving palm branches. They welcomed this conquering hero by waving palm branches. As the temple was cleansed and dedicated, the Syrians had defiled it. As the temple was cleansed and rededicated, great crowds waved palm branches to celebrate. And this symbol took hold, and it endured for a time. In the Jewish war that occurred against Rome between the years of 66 and 70 after Jesus, Jews minted their own coins, and on the coin, they had palm branches, a symbol of their nation. The Romans also recognized this symbol. After they conquered Jerusalem, after they destroyed the temple in the year 70, they made coins to celebrate this victory over the Jews, and on the coin they put a palm branch. Passover was near. A great crowd was in Jerusalem. They heard that Jesus was coming. They welcome him with palm branches, and this is what they cry out. This is what they cry out as Jesus comes. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Their cry to Jesus is an almost word-for-word quote from Psalm 118. This psalm, Psalm 118, was sung at Passover. It was prayed at Passover. And I said it's almost a word-for-word quote because the last phrase is an addition. The words, "even the King of Israel," are not found in Psalm 118. This is an interpretation by the crowd welcoming Jesus. And here's why. Here's why. This particular line in Psalm 118 was understood to refer to the Messiah, the Christ, the long-awaited God-promised King who would come in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. So the crowd cries out, "Hosanna," which means save us. Save us now. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. You see, this Passover celebrating, palm-waving crowd knew that they were welcoming the Messiah. They knew that they were greeting the Christ. They knew that they were receiving God's promised King who could save them, who could deliver them. They recognized their need for salvation. They wanted to be saved. They wanted to be delivered from their enemies, namely the Romans. Namely the Romans. They wanted Jesus to overthrow the Romans. Rome had occupied the land of Israel for decades. They kept a strong military presence to maintain order. And by and large, God's people resented them. They resented their presence. They resented their authority. They wanted freedom. They wanted deliverance. They wanted salvation. And they wanted it now. Now. So, here's the atmosphere. As they were preparing to celebrate God's salvation from the Egyptians, as they waved palm branches that brought to mind God's salvation from Syria, they welcomed Jesus as King. As King. Crying out, "Hosanna, save us. Save us now. Save us from our enemies now. Save us from the Romans now. Overthrow our enemies now. Lead us to victory now. And how does Jesus react? What does Jesus do in the face of this crowd? How does Jesus respond to these obvious expectations? He finds a young donkey. Not a horse. A donkey. Not a steed fit for battle, but a donkey. Not a mount fit for a king or a conquering hero, but a donkey. If Jesus had paraded into Jerusalem on a horse, the message would have been loud and clear. This crowd may have followed him straight to battle, to war, to death. But Jesus comes on a donkey, offering quite a different image. Lowly, humble, a servant. In the midst of waving palm branches, to cries and to shouts, acknowledging him as king, with the expectation of action, with the hope of action, Jesus rides a donkey into Jerusalem. John tells us that by doing this, Jesus is fulfilling a prophecy. One found in the book of Zechariah, our Old Testament reading this morning. The prophet Zechariah shows that God's king would come to Jerusalem on a donkey, that he would come in peace, that he would come bringing salvation, that he would come ending war, that he would come and reign not only over Israel, but that he would reign to the ends of the earth. Listen to verse 10 again. This is from Zechariah. Listen to verse 10 again. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. John says Zechariah is talking about Jesus here. John says that this word in Zechariah is fulfilled in Jesus, that God had always planned for Jesus to enter Jerusalem in this way. Yes, he is the Messiah. Yes, he is the Christ. Yes, he is the King. He doesn't silence the crowd. He doesn't correct the cries of the crowd. He accepts the title. He hears their request for salvation. However, in riding a donkey, Jesus shows that he is a different kind of king, a different king. He's not the king that they expected. He's not the king that they envisioned. He's not the king that they desired. But he is the king that they needed. He's the king that we need. He did not bring the salvation that God's people expected, the salvation that they envisioned, the salvation that they desired. But he brought the salvation that they needed, the salvation that we need. As the Messiah, as the Christ, as the King, Jesus did come to Jerusalem to battle. He did come to Jerusalem to save. He did come to Jerusalem to conquer enemies, but it wasn't what the crowd thought. He didn't come to battle Rome. He didn't come to save from Rome. He didn't come to conquer Rome or any other earthly enemy. He came to Jerusalem to battle far greater enemies, far greater powers than Rome. Enemies and powers that no one has ever conquered. Enemies and powers that no one has ever overcome. Enemies and powers that keep every person from every nation, from every race, from every class, in every age, in bondage, in chains. From the highest to the lowest, from the greatest to the least. He came to battle with enemies and powers that every heart struggles with, namely sin and death. Sin and death. Sin as the power that tempts to sin, that entices to sin, that attempts to draw you away from God and what God desires, to draw you away from a God-pleasing life. Death as the power over life, as the power that ages life, as the power that ends life, as the power that takes life. Jesus came to battle these powers. And he battled not through military might. He battled not through armies. He battled not through weapons of war. No, the one who comes to Jerusalem on a donkey goes to war with different weapons entirely. Jesus battled these enemies through suffering. He battled these enemies through experiencing injustice. By being arrested and mocked and beaten and falsely accused and unjustly tried and sentenced to death. The death of a criminal. The death of an enemy of the state. Death upon a cross. And by this he conquered. Through this he conquered. And the reason that he suffered and the reason that he experienced injustice, the reason that he died was out of love. Love for God's people. Love for you. So that you might be saved from these enemies. So that you might be saved from these powers. So that you might have forgiveness. So that you might have life, so that you might know God. For Jesus is God. And he comes to you. He comes to you riding on a donkey. He comes to you humble. He comes to you desiring to be king over your life, Lord over your life, king of your heart. Now, how many times in your life have you desired God to act in a particular way? To do something in your life or in the events surrounding your life, and you knew exactly what he should do, and you knew exactly how he should do it. How many times in your life have you needed saving from a situation? Maybe your marriage was in a mess. Maybe you just didn't know what to do with your child. Maybe you or someone you loved was experiencing a health crisis. Maybe you were just struggling to make it every day, or you were overwhelmed, or you were sinking. You felt like you were drowning. Or how many times in your life have you needed an enemy conquered? Whether that enemy was addiction or depression, whether that enemy was anxiety or anger or lust. And God could act, God could deliver, God could conquer the situation. You hoped and you prayed and you expected that he would do it. You cried out, Hosanna! Save. Save now. You were looking for a conquering king on a horse. But Jesus comes riding on a donkey. Christ comes riding on a donkey. And he may not save you the way you want. He may not conquer your enemy the way that you want. But he will accomplish what you need. He'll accomplish what you need. He comes to you in love. He is with you. He is present in the situation. He is present in your situation, suffering with you, suffering alongside of you. And know this, the one who comes The one who comes to you on a donkey, the one who suffers with you, is the one who conquered sin and death for you. He has given you forgiveness, and he has given you life, and nothing can separate you from him. Nothing. The situation that you need saving from, the enemy that you need saving from, cannot separate you from Jesus Christ. Won't separate you from Jesus Christ. He may not save you from it. He may not conquer in the way that you desire, but he will be with you through it. Promises to be with you through it. The one who comes on a donkey, he comes to save. He comes to conquer in the way that we need. The way that you need and I need. And he comes to be with you. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks that your son Jesus comes to us on a donkey, humble, desiring to serve. We give you thanks that your son Jesus has come and suffered for us. We thank you for the salvation that he brings, the salvation that we need. Father, we are thankful for his promised presence with us. In the ups and downs of life, on our mountaintops and in our valleys, we thank you for your son, in whose name we pray. Amen.